Strategy and Insider, exploring future trends and their impacts.
Welcome to the fifth episode of our Strategy and Insider podcast, where we aim to explore some of the most critical future trends and their impacts. My name is Thomas Solbach. I'm a partner at Strategy End, and I'm the host of the first Strategy and Insider podcast season. And in that season, we do discuss the most fundamental questions in healthcare with various experts from this sector, including a bioinformatician, a physician, a global pharma executive, as well as last time, a serial health entrepreneur and successful investor. So with Georg Matthijs, I did talk about AI technology and how it can help to revive the patient-physician relationship by relieving doctors from certain labor-intense tasks that provide them more time for their actual patients. For me, this conversation with one of Germany's pioneering founders in the healthcare sector was truly inspiring. And on that note, I'm equally thrilled and honored to welcome Dr. Hamed Al-Hashemi to today's episode. Dr. Hamed is the Director of Strategy, Performance and Risk Management at the Department of Health here in Abu Dhabi. He will shed some light on our topic, the future of healthcare. So Dr. Hamed is an economist by train who studied at very renowned universities such as Watt, Harvard, and INSEAD. And prior to his current role in the Department of Health that he started about 4 years ago, he did hold very impressive positions such as, for example, the director role of strategy and performance management at the Abu Dhabi Executive Council, where he was leading big transformations for numerous state-based agencies. Or he was also, prior to that, more focusing on the oil and gas sector, where his and his colleagues' ultimate aim was to make this sector future ready in his region. So very warm welcome, Hamed. I'm really honored that we have the time now to spend together discussing the future of health.
Thank you, Thomas, for hosting me.
Let me first say thank you for the great scenery that we're having here. We're both sitting in front of the Arabian Gulf, seeing the sunlight outside, and it's a great experience up until here so far. But before diving into any of the content, it would really be great if you can share a little about your personal drivers, what motivates you, beside the great work that you're doing here in the region.
First of all, thank you. Thank you, Thomas, for hosting me to this podcast. And actually, my background is both engineering and economist. And the last 15 years, my focus was on around strategy. Mm-hmm. So strategizing around the whole of government, mm-hmm. But also specific to certain industries, like in the oil and gas, as well as in the economic policy planning. Mm-hmm. And right now, my contribution focus around the transformation of the healthcare. My interest and passion, and this is related to the things that I've been doing in the past, is about how to build capabilities. Mm-hmm. So how to help different organizations, entities, to build capabilities that will help them to change, transform, and do things differently. And I've done this work previously across the Abu Dhabi government. This is when we initiated the big transformation in terms of policy making, planning, strategy across all the whole of government. So this is my interest. It's about building capabilities and supporting different entities in their journey of transformation.
Got it. So that's kind of the red string that you have been following through your career.
Career, yes.
That you did apply in oil and gas, but also now in transforming the healthcare sector in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. Very interesting. Looking at your very impressive CV, you did travel a lot, particularly during study times. What were for you, when you went out, the biggest learning that you made in your time when being in the US, for instance, and how does that help in your daily life back now in Abu Dhabi?
Traveling is has been very beneficial to me in terms of life as well as in career. Mm-hmm. Coming from UAE, when you go abroad, whether in the US, I spent a lot of time in the US, but as well as in UK, mm-hmm. During my studies, and also during the interactions of different projects, different programs across Europe. And the main benefits that personally I get is about seeing other people, getting different perspectives. And the interesting point about about how people look at issues, challenges differently than sometimes us. And which sometime also it depends on how you start your perspective, your solution will be determined. So dealing with different culture, different people, different background, the diversity brings richness in the contribution when you go back to home and work with different ministries or departments. And this helps us to move the needles slowly and sometime in a big time. And this only will come when once we explore the experiences, the geniuses available across the other countries.
Okay. And you have seen that US and UK or Europe version of culture and people behavior and systems there, and you're now in Abu Dhabi, of course. Mm-hmm. What's the main difference for you between the Western and the Arabian world in terms of culture and systems?
In terms of culture and systems, certainly the work environment a little bit different. The pace of change is a little bit different. And making things happen is different. In a way, if you look at Abu Dhabi or UAE, we have very much kind of a lean structure. And once there is a good policy change that need to be done, a change or a project that will be executed, things can move faster. And somehow this also puts us in stressful kind of a situation in terms of because the expectation that once the vision's clear, leadership they determine what is needed, then the expectation that things will be done executed fast. We have done different projects across the different culture, different organizations within UAE, whether in oil and gas or in terms of the healthcare. What we have observed that the ideation process and the execution, there are different kind of differentiation, how ideation done elsewhere when it comes to Europe and other countries, and also in terms of execution. We are, I think we are good in terms of the execution element. We get things done fast. And the big learning that we're getting from other countries is how to make sure the ideation process done in very structured process and exploring and being collective and inclusive of the various parties in the community and the society.
Yeah. As you rightly say, make things happen and pace of change. And, I mean, we're now having mid-December and again sitting in front of a sunny beach here. We had a very thrilling get-together today where you brought in a room together regulators, payers, providers and also other healthcare players into kind of a summit talking about the future of healthcare and the future care model in Abu Dhabi and probably in the region more broadly. What is your vision of the future healthcare or future care model?
I think this is the whole exercise what we're trying to do now. The vision is not coming from a person, and this is what we want to actually to avoid, to have a personalized view what is going to be the future of the healthcare.
Yeah.
And the sense of having this forum and retreat or the engagement, we bringing all the key stakeholders within the sector, as you said, the providers, the payers, both from the public and the private sector, and as well as some academy representative that of the some of the investors that are available in UAE, but also some of the technology companies, taking into consideration that the change will be driven by digital and the technology that is happening typically in other industries, how we can to replicate it and adapt it within the healthcare. So what we're trying to do is somehow to capitalize on the knowledge that is available within the different players, since like having a collective genius within the system, and together we create the vision and the future of the healthcare. And in the past, we were working
side by side, which
doesn't work well. We do our own programs. The providers, they will execute a different kind of direction, and at the same time, the payers. And what we thought, I mean, for in 2019, this kind of working relationship is not helping us as a country and the sector. And we wanted to have a different approach in terms of how we co-design and co-create the vision and the future of the healthcare in Abu Dhabi. And this only going to happen once you bring the different player around one table, understanding the issues as well as understanding the global trends, what's happening elsewhere, what does it mean for us within Abu Dhabi, and what it will make sense as a team, as an ecosystem as a whole, to set the future roadmap, the different future pathways that will help us to getting into the collective kind of outcomes that we want to have for our patients.
So bringing the best of all the various players together in a room and not having the single voice defining its single future of something, but having a collective get-together and a converging interest level here. What we're seeing, and also the study that we have been running, and you know that a lot has been around personalized preventative measures around individuals, where you comprehensively support doctors through structured data analytics and embedding basically digital health into everyday life of people so that it kind of feels natural to them. What is your perspective, and how do you get basically the individual, like the patient or the person who is probably even healthy for the time being, how do you get that in the center of your interest level from a regulation, from a payer, and from a provider perspective?
If we look at the previous strategies, not only for us as the Department of Health in Abu Dhabi, but also other region, maybe other countries, and there is most of the strategies, they will talk about the verticals within typical healthcare. We will address the how to improve the access, also how to be efficient in terms of our operations and financial efficiency, and also how to improve quality, some element about prevention, governance, and maybe digital. And from our experience over the last 2 and maybe 4 years, we found that this model, maybe we need to look at it, because the patient element is not there, neither the physician. And we don't foresee that this kind of model or framework will be helpful if we wish to transform the healthcare. Patient has to be the center of whatever we are doing and executing, but also the front line in terms of the physicians, they need to be onboarded in terms of setting the direction for the future. Otherwise, we will not be able to strategize properly, having integrated continuum of care that will benefit the patient.
And on that note, because as you rightly say, you need to take along the existing system to make a change happen, right? So you have physicians that are treating, that are diagnosing out in the market, and they need in future probably to become health coaches rather than someone who is diagnosing and taking care of sickness. How open do you think your system in Abu Dhabi is to make that change viable in future? Because it's not enough, obviously, to run a small pilot in a subset of doctors, but to scale that and let everyone kind of participate in that. How open do you see that?
We are open, but maybe we'll address the point that you raised about data and how to deal, bring data and physicians together.
Yeah.
We are same as other healthcare entities or organizations. We want to move into data. We want to bring AI into that elements. However, also at the same time, we don't want to burden the physicians with all of this data. In terms of data, so is available. What is missing is about how to make a better synthesis about the data. And we have launched the Health Information Exchange this year. And by end of this year, actually in December, we're going to cover 70% of the number of episodes that being transacted in the sector will be visible within the health information exchange, or
so
what we call
an electronic health record system.
Yes,
70%.
So 70% of the number of episodes, which is roughly 50% of the bed capacity, and hopefully by end of next year we're going to cover all the facilities, the hospitals, the clinic, the pharmacies into that platform.
Can I just probe into that? Because we also talked about speed beforehand to make things happen.
Yes.
How long did it take you from making a decision that this is your future, where you want to have it going, until here, until when you have the 100%?
Okay. In terms of making a decision, we have been talking about having the health information exchange maybe 5 years back. However, we were looking at the experiences of other countries. And what we found, not all of HIEs has been successful in delivering the outcomes desired. And we were hesitant to pursue that project till 2 years back, because technology has changed. And also there is more clarity about not only having the clinical records, but what else could be done once this data will be available. So we're having now more tools, more solutions that
to
you
do
can
something with
to
it,
do something with
yeah.
it. Other,
yeah.
But the good point for Abu Dhabi, when we decided to execute this project, it was in 2017, and it took us a very quick decision. We presented the government the proposal through a public-private partnership. So we selected the vendors, we put them together, and we structured the deal. And within 2 years, from 2017 to 2020, the whole project will be completed in a scale where I don't think other also countries have done it within this period.
I mean, it's amazing to
normally
see that.
Normally takes 7 years time, or 10 years.
Or longer.
We're going to have it actually within Abu Dhabi, within the three, by next year, that will cover all the public, private, the facilities, even the pharmacies and the labs. So all will be under one platform.
And is that the data that is actually put from the pharmacy, from the doctor's place, and you named it, are they then interoperable to each other? Is that kind of linked up already, or how do you see that shaking up?
Okay, one of the big challenges when you do this kind of project, how to standardize the data.
Obviously,
the quality of the data, the variables, and this is the exercise already been done now. If you look at the lab data, you have two systems globally, and the discussion was, do we let the labs submit data as they have, or maybe we select one kind of a standard of reporting the lab data. We moved into an approach where we keep it as it is, as of now, and the system will have to make sure that this data are interoperable.
As you are moving speedily from 2017 to 2020, I mean, just 3 years. Also here, taking along society, how do you ensure trust in your people that they are willing to see that happening? I can only imagine it is a challenge to have that trust installed in people.
Trust is very important, not only for the data itself, but also when we speak about transforming the healthcare into virtual care. We have some voices that people trust the system, but also there are people worries about the system as if it is now. And imagine once we evolve the system, the healthcare system, into virtual care, telemedicine, telehealth, and the concept of or the issue of how to generate trust within the new kind of model of care, it becomes an important factor. And what we're trying to do is to figure out how to generate this trust. And this will only happen once there is transparency to the patient, and there is a close engagement with the patient on how we deal with their data, but as well as virtual care and digital health in general is an add-on into the existing infrastructure till we get at a stage gradually that we move into the big transformation.
Yeah.
And looking also who's our audience. When we look at the big transformation, we're not looking as the existing patient. We're designing a system, a platform for the youth, those who are the people that will demand this kind of services, but also for the elderly. So it has to address the trust of the existing kind of society, but also
future
that who will be utilizing big majority of the services.
And I very much like your point around, well, trust you need to earn over time and maintain over time, which is not to misuse the data, of course, which is one angle to trust building. But the other angle that you alluded to earlier is we need to have proper benefits to the patient or to society, that we have use cases to put on the data that we are generating in one place or bringing into one place in order to give something back, because that also will drive not only transparency but also benefits to patients and trust ultimately.
And this is what we have done in one of the solutions that we're providing to the society. We launching what we call the My Health Coach.
Okay.
So what we are using is an app. Mm-hmm. That address to nudging people to be active and also to be healthy. And the good thing about this app, it links directly to your personal data. So people, they log in to the app with their ID, and automatically the system will read their own data. And the value proposition is we have the patient data, but then there is an added benefit in terms of linking this data to how they eat, how they are being active.
To lifestyle, basically.
To the lifestyle, giving them advice, notification in terms of the risk profile, if they continue this kind of habit of exercise or not taking their proper kind of nutrition, then you have this kind of engagement that, yes, we are using your data as a community or as a person, but then in return, we are engaging with the society in terms of caring about health, making sure that they are staying healthy.
Yeah, and I can clearly see the benefit of that, as you call it, My Health Coach, because once you uploaded your data and continuously to do so, if you move from one hospital to the next hospital, you're taking your data with you and you don't need to re-explain what potentially you had as previous diagnostics and measures on that. So there's clearly a benefit to that. How do you see the acceptance in Abu Dhabi and the cultural aspect to actually adopt this My Health Coach? Is that something that people will be using more frequently once on the market, or how do you see that happening?
So this now at the stage of the pilot. Uh-huh. So we have piloted the My Health Coach within Department of Health.
Okay.
And we're aiming to launch it formally in January during the Arab Health. Mm-hmm. And it will be open to, initially we intended to have it for all the government employees, around 50,000 employees, they will have access to this data. But then decision was taken, well, actually we'll have the government employees, but then anybody can log in and download the app and start using it.
Wow. Very much looking forward to that, and would love to redo such a podcast in about not 5 years from now, because it's much more quickly here, it seems, but more in 2 years from now. Yeah? So probably kind of an invite already. Having said that, there is also multinational companies, like, let's take Amazon for the time being. Amazon has partnered with JP Morgan and Berkshire Hathaway, kind of taking care of their employees. Yeah? So they are an employer and by definition also a payer to their employees. At the same time, Amazon did buy out PillPack, so they become a wholesaler, or became a wholesaler, kind of in the same period where they joined that joint ventureship. Also, Amazon has building their first clinics, also even piloting a virtual primary care clinic, and recently also putting out something called Amazon Medical Transcribe that sits in between a patient-physician dialogue and automatically transcribes that conversation into an EHR record. So in essence, they are virtually disintermediating all the players taking care of a patient's life. How do you see that? Is that kind of a model that you're looking into and learn from? Is that something that you can even think of at some point partnering with, or where do you see that happening? Or yeah, if you share your perspective on that.
In general, I mean, we are very much open to collaborate across different companies and mm-hmm. also industries. We see the trends, the global trends, what is happening in terms of companies like having the platform kind of a model and a business. And it's something that we foresee that something is going to happen, a big transformation within the healthcare. And the whole purpose, even for our this forum that we're having for the last 2 days, is to understand what does it mean for us as Department of Health and also as a sector, how we want to position ourselves across all of these changes. Do we plug in into and collaborate with this kind of giant players, or we generate our own platform, and which somehow this is the thinking. Taking into consideration also, we started already having around actually 12 use cases dealing with different technology companies. Sometimes they approach us or we approach them, and the proposition we have, we're going to open up the system in terms of the data. Then what the value proposition that you're going to have to us in terms of the solutions, either addressing a specific kind of a solution or coming up with a different kind of framework of collaboration. So we're looking at different dimensions in terms of the local environment. Can we have our own platform that will integrate the patient, the providers, the market, and creating our own marketplace. So this is one proposal and one discussion that we're having. The other discussions is, okay, let's realize that what other opportunities that we have that we could collaborate with the companies that they're having already programs. We know that they are looking for introducing a big change into the healthcare.
Yeah, and if I understand correctly, it's kind of a parallel approach, building your own pilots and seeing whether you can do that out of your own hands, at the same time remaining open to discussions with others. And to me personally, I think you're anyway doing some sort of no regret moves for the time being, because as soon as you start those kind of discussions, they first of all ask, so what type of data do you have? How interoperable are they? And how longitudinal are they? And this is what you're kind of building up anyway, regardless of whether you do it on your own with them or a combination of the two.
And actually, we are working now. We started to define what we call is the data platform, data lake, where we bringing different sources of data. The first stage is data that we have been building and coming from the claim management system. We had it for 10 years. It has both the financial as well as some clinical data. Now we have Melefi and the Health Information Exchange, and also we have My Health Coach and other the peer data, the screening data, the notification. So we bring all of this data into one platform, and we're hoping at some stage even we'll include some social determinant data
of health.
Health. And this will be an interesting case for us and also for other companies once they see, and also the bioinformatics. We launched the genomic project, so that's also another set of data that will be available, but we don't want data to be sitting in silos. So what we'll be working next year is to build the data into one platform. And then interesting discussion could be happening with other local and also international providers, what we can do with this richness of data that will be available, and we will be ready to develop kind of a different business model with different parties around this data.
Yeah, and what became very clear today during the summit, having discussed with one of the doctors there, he was actually mentioning an app, a visual app that people can use for spotting their melanoma risk or whether you have a melanoma onset already. And what works well for Caucasians because of the more pale skin isn't a plug and play into Abu Dhabi and its region, because you have a slightly different skin, right? And the readout needs to be different and the algorithm needs to be different. So a plug and play from the big giants, as you rightly say, so just to copy here isn't going to do the trick in the end.
And actually, we had some of the 12 cases that I mentioned, that the use cases is about having an understanding of the risks within the data that we have. So risk for in US or UK is different than the risk that we have in Abu Dhabi in UAE.
Yeah.
So we launched two engagement, one about the cancer and one about diabetes. So we're taking all of this data that is available, and then we are trying to develop an algorithm that will predict the risk of a person when they're going to get a heart attack or getting diabetic, based on the context and the data that reflecting UAE. So reflecting the lifestyle, reflecting the quality of life that we have in here, which is a big difference from copying data set from outside. The risks are different.
And also, as you say, diabetes, I mean, I can't remember the exact rate, but it's something in the range of 25% of your population is at risk or is having type 2 diabetes. I mean, if you would control that better, if you would prevent that better through better exercising, more conscious nutrition and alike, you also bring sustainability back into your system. And that's a sustainability you can reinvest into building up better data infrastructure or primary care clinics and what have you. I guess that's also a driver behind that, looking into diabetes, isn't it?
Of course. I mean, diabetes, this is one of the big challenges for us in UAE and similarly in the region. And this is related to the lifestyle that we have. And also the element of people maybe still not educated, not aware about healthy eating, the importance of exercising. And I'm sure also other countries from our data suffering from the same kind of dilemma of the diabetes.
You also recently announced something, literally a couple of days back, beginning of December, your genome project that is supposed to be one of the world's most comprehensive genome projects. Can you allude a little of what kind of the order of magnitude is there and what your drivers are for embarking on this?
Okay. Genomics is not new in UAE. We had the small projects by research centers, some of the universities, and some of the providers, they have done small scale of kind of genomic research and studies, sample data of around 7,000.
Okay.
And some others on a smaller scale. This genomic project, it's not going to be done at a big bang as a big project from the beginning, but it's going to cover a bigger kind of
population.
Yeah. So the proposition is to start with initially 7,000 and then go to 10,000 and then cover the whole population of UAE nationals of around 1 million.
Wow. And a time frame, we're talking against speed here, or?
This is definitely, there is against the speed, but in terms of the time, it's still not being finalized.
Yeah.
But the expectation that if the infrastructure can be built in terms of the biobank, in terms of the data center is already somehow is available with the partner who will be executing this project. So the element of doing the sequences and the sampling and all of that can be done in a year time. But I think the biggest challenge is about you're going to have all of it, but then about the information, the informatics that you're going to generate, and how we are going to go about making use of this rich data that will be available. From Department of Health, we want to link, and this is some of the use cases already you have seen elsewhere. It becomes interesting when you link the genomics information, the bioinformatics, but also with typical clinical data, as well as other social data. And this is where, as the Department of Health, we want to bring all of this together into one platform.
And this is where the magic will happen.
And this is where, yes.
Yeah, if you have your, I'm getting excited now, if you have your My Health Coach, if you have your EHR records more broadly, if you have the Genome Project tying in, and if you combine these bits and pieces into one system, you have proper readouts and insights generation. So yeah, great strategy ahead, I would say. If I may just ask, if we would re-meet, let's say in 10 years from now, and I would ask you at that time then, what was your biggest surprise or advancement over the last 10 years? What do you think you would answer? In healthcare, of course.
In healthcare, the biggest answer, it has to be done with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is something of a big concern for us. And having a rate that will drop significantly from what we have now.
Okay. So big advancements.
Big advancements
in diabetes.
In diabetes. And we think a lot of things can happen around it in terms of catching people from their childhood, mm-hmm. and make them aware about the risk of diabetes, but as well as controlling the food intake, the nutrition, and as well as making people more active and engaged.
Super. No, thanks for sharing that, also that futuristic vision. Let's try to jointly summarize what the key takeaways were of the last 30, 40 mm-hmm. minutes that we jointly had together. What's your key takeaway from your perspective that we just discussed?
The main takeaway, and this is what we discussed now, and also this is coming very strong within the last 2 days of this forum retreat, is understanding the global trend. And the concept of the platform business, platform kind of technologies. And it is something that we have to pursue it in a way that we going to benefit us as a country, but as well as a community and the patient. The opportunities are there. And as you mentioned and we discussed, it has to go into parallel kind of route mm-hmm. that we do our own, but as well as we plug in into the big changes that's happening or the big platform players that at some stage they will transform the healthcare.
And beside that, if I may just add to that openness to see outside of the UAE world, so to say, to me is that pace of change that is lived here. I mean, from 2017 to 2020, basically installing an end-to-end EHR system is astonishing and great to see that it is possible technically and even taking people with you along that journey. And it's a very vibrant area, I've learned, where you do a lot when it comes to My Health Coach, when it comes to the Genome Project and tying that back to the EHR set. And yes, of course, some of it is in a pilot stage, but you are active, you're doing something, at the same time remaining open to, as you rightly say, the multinationals also piloting something at their ends and see where we're ending up potentially jointly. So thank you very much indeed, Ahmed, for this very fruitful conversation that we had.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomas.
And I hope everyone listening to our podcast did enjoy that conversation as much as I did. If you want to have more information, please do visit our Strategy End website and download our latest thinking around the future of health. And stay tuned, as we are in our next episode are going to talk about another perspective from a big pharma multinational. So thanks a lot for listening and have a great day.
Strategy and strategy made real.